Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
Hallelujah. Are you happy to be in the house of the Lord? Yeah, it's very good to be in the house of the Lord, because in the house of the Lord, there's a sharpening that takes place. The Bible says iron sharpens iron. So if you're iron, you can't get sharpened unless there's another piece of iron. So it's important to be in the house of the Lord so we can be sharpened. Hallelujah. Well, as Bishop Joni, Pastor Joni has said, I've known him for a long time. I first came to Ghana in 1996 when I was a very young man. I was working in another place in another time. And Bishop Joni was my first supervisor in Ghana. We were working in the tapes ministry, the media ministry. We were developing the audio tapes and video and then later the books. So we got to work together. I remember he lived close to where I lived. And I remember when he got his first car, and sometimes he'd drive me to the church. You remember that? I think was it a red car? It was a red car. Man, it's amazing how your memory lasts like that. So I was always grateful to know him and to have that relationship. And the Lord put him on my heart some time ago that I have to come here and just to fellowship and be in his presence and be with him. So as he said, myself and my brother James, we have this ministry called E37. And it's about restoration, reconciliation, healing, and deliverance to whoever needs it. Because in Ezekiel 37, you see many people have been killed and taken out by the enemy. And the enemy thought that they were gone, that they were done for. But I'm here tonight to tell you that that's not the case. It's not the case. He told the prophet, breathe life into them. And the sinews came on, and their bones began to rattle. And they became back, and they stood up, and they became a mighty army of the Lord. So part of our trip being here in Ghana is to do just that. The Lord has shown me many ministers who the enemy thought he has successfully taken out. But then the Lord showed me their faces. I had a dream, and he showed me people's faces. This one, and that one, and this one, and that one. And they were coming out from the ashes, and they're being restored. And I said, wow, that's amazing. So, do you believe in dreams and visions? Yeah. I live on dreams and visions in the Bible, but dreams and visions are so important because the Lord sometimes in our busyness of life, he needs to speak to us when we're quiet, when we're asleep. He'll come to you and speak to you in a dream or in a vision. So some of the things he showed myself and James are specifically for Ghana. And we know that God is raising up an end time army in Ghana. A strong army that's going to overflow into Togo, to Benin, to Nigeria, to Cote d'Ivoire, to Burkina Faso. It's going to start here and it's going to ripple out. Hallelujah. You're going to have to take a seat. You can have a seat. I'm just going to share a few things. So we were talking with Pastor Johnny, and it's funny because he's like us. He's like James and I. We have a calling. We have an office that the Lord has called us to. But we don't care for titles. You don't have to call me reverend. Am I a reverend? Sure, I'm a reverend. Am I a pastor? Sure. Am I a prophet? Sure. But I don't care what you call me. Do you understand? Because it's not about me. It's not about James. It's not about Pastor Johnny. It's about the Lord. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So as we're talking tonight, don't focus on the person who's speaking. Just focus on what we're sharing with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to say a few things and I'll invite my brother up. Here's a few things that the Lord gave me this afternoon. I wasn't sure what I was going to say here. I had a few things and then the Lord spoke to me. And the Lord told me that. And I'll just say this up front. I hate flattery. I hate it with a passion. I can't stand it because flattery is basically lies. It's organized lies that people like to say, you know, different things about different people. But flattery is lies. So when I say this, please, I'm not flattering anybody. I'm just telling you what the Lord has told me, okay? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Here's what the Lord told me. He said, Pastor Johnny is a good man, and he has a good heart. He's a good man, and he has a good heart. There are a lot of men of God, women of God, who aren't good men and good women, and they don't have a good heart, unfortunately. But when you have a pastor who is a good man, and God says he has a good heart, the Bible says that God looks at the heart. We look at the outside. You remember the prophet Samuel? He missed it. He chose everybody else because God had a different plan. He looked at the heart of the people and he chose David. So he's a good man. He said, some have vilified him and have spoken evil over his life. I'm here to inform you that he is a good man and that he has a good heart. That's very important. Because we were sharing here in the office and we were talking about some of these things. And I didn't know he was going to read my notes. But this is what we were talking about the heart of ministers and where the heart is. And so when someone, and the Lord says he have a good heart, that's a compliment. And so those of you here who find this church to be your home church, or even if you're visiting, you should know that the person who's leading this church is the Lord. And his under-shepherd is right here, Pastor Johnny. And he has a good heart. He's not here to take your money. He's not here to trick you about anything. He's not selling a book. I don't see his books on stage here anywhere. He's not selling anything. He's just selling what he has. He's selling the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to show you something else that the Lord showed me. So I was having a little sleep in the afternoon. And actually last night I was having a very troubling sleep. I couldn't sleep. I was sleeping. And while I was sleeping, my mind was racing. This doesn't usually happen. And while I was dreaming for hours. And in my dream, I was trying to find this church. And I was being bombarded with numbers and this and that from the enemy. And I was like, what is this? And I'm in this dream. I'm like, what is going on? It was almost like I was being tormented in a way. And finally, I found the church. I said, good, because this is ending. But in the afternoon, this afternoon, I had something that the Lord showed me. He showed me, I wrote it down, that a huge impact is being made in this church. A huge impact is being made in this church. And he showed me a huge, you know what a boulder is? A big rock, like a big rock, right? He showed me a huge boulder, a big rock. And the rock suddenly came down with such speed and with such force that I was dreaming. I jumped out of my dream. I was afraid of the speed and the force it came out. It came down with. That was at 2:35 this afternoon. And that's when the Lord said, that rock or that boulder is a reflection of what I'm going to do in this church. It's going to be a huge impact. I said, wow, that's really good. A huge impact. What is the impact? The impact is bringing people into a relationship with the Lord. That's what it is. So when people walk by the church and they see the church, they're going to be drawn to come inside the church. And their lives are going to be turned around for the better. So that's a good place to clap, right? Yeah. A huge impact. It's very important. Then the Lord told me to tell the church here and to tell Pastor Johnny in the church that you can't hide from the Lord anymore. You can't hide from the Lord. What does that mean? David said that if I go to the depths of hell, you're there. If I go to the uttermost, you're there. Wherever I go, you are there. You know, I tried to hide from the Lord for some years. I was in the ministry. I left, and I was hiding. And it's difficult to hide from God, isn't it, Pastor Johnny? It's difficult. Because God will find you out. I went to visit a small Pentecostal church in Canada, in the countryside. Small church. I went fishing with my friend. We were fishing. And after we were fishing, my friend said, let's go visit this little church. I said, okay. It was a Sunday evening. And I was sitting there. Remember, I'm hiding from the Lord. It's hard to hide from the Lord, my brother. And I was sitting in the back. So when you sit in the back, you think you're hiding from people? It doesn't work. The Bible says his eyes are everywhere, seeing everything. So I was in the back of this church. And there's a man of God, this white man. He was preaching up here, like I'm standing up here. And he was preaching, and he was looking over this way. And he said, I never do this. And I said, no. Because the Holy Spirit told me he's going to give a word to you. I said, no. Inside, I said, no, 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 no. I'm trying to hide from the Lord. I don't want to be exposed. The man said, I never do this. And he turned and he pointed to me in the back. He said, you in the back. The Lord just told me that you're a pastor and you're hiding from him. And you're going through a wilderness experience. And I was just sitting, I started sweating. Not because I was hot, but because I was hot. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It made me hot. And then I said, okay. I said, hopefully I can escape this church before this man of God speaks to me. But he captured me at the end of the service. He was telling me the same thing. Then another time, I worked for the government. And I was there in my office, and we had to hand out checks to people who were on welfare. And some landlords came in because we paid them money to house people. And this white man came in. This happened in my Windsor, where I live now. This guy came in with his 8-year-old son. He sat down, and he looked at me, and he said, you're a Christian, aren't you? I said, yeah. And he said, in fact, you're a pastor. And I started sweating again because I was trying to hide from God and God kept exposing me. And I didn't like it because I was trying to just do my thing coolly in the side. Didn't want any involvement. But I'm here to tell you that you in this church, you can no longer hide because God sees you wherever you are. And though this church is on the side, you have to come off the main road. And we took a long road to get here. What I will say is that the church is going to be no longer hidden. It's going to be exposed. And there's going to be more growth that happens in the church. I'm not saying it to make you feel happy. I'm just telling you what God has showed me this afternoon. Okay? So are you prepared for that? It means you have to get more chairs. You have to have more Sunday school teachers. You have to have more assistants here. All those things means more things coming. I see that you're expanding the church over here. You have a foundation here you're working on. So these things are indicators of what the Lord showed me spiritually. Okay? So I want you to have that heart. So as Pastor Johnny is the under-shepherd here and he leads the church, you know, God is going to speak to him and give him direction how the church should go. So you need to follow and listen to the voice of the Lord and follow. And just be there and be available. Okay? There's a lot of work to get done. But he needs many hands to get that done. Amen? Hallelujah. Okay, let me see what else I had before I bring my brother up. Yeah. You know what a caterpillar is? You know what a caterpillar? Anybody? Put your hand up if you know what a caterpillar is. A worm. It's like a worm. Like this, a big worm. Juicy. Big juicy worm. So, this is the last thing I'm going to say before I bring him up. The Lord also showed me this afternoon. He said that this church was like a caterpillar. When it was started, it was very easy for this worm to be squashed by anybody. They could step on it, kill it, destroy it, wipe it out. They could throw it to the birds. The birds will eat it. Birds love worms. They love caterpillars. Okay? He said this church was like a caterpillar. but is past the caterpillar stage. It's no longer as vulnerable as it used to be. He said the church has gone into the cocoon stage. Do you know what a cocoon is? It's like a big basket where the worm makes a basket and it hides in that basket. And when it's in that cocoon, it's vulnerable because anybody can come by and eat the cocoon and eat the worm inside. But what the great thing about a cocoon is a cocoon is where you develop, where you metamorphosize, where you transform into something different, something more beautiful. And you come out of there like a butterfly. You know what a butterfly is? Yeah. You come out like a butterfly. And the thing with a butterfly is colorful. It has wings. It can soar high, fly everywhere. It's pretty. We all admire a butterfly. But mostly, it's seen. It's seen. So this is what's happening here. You were a caterpillar. You were at a stage where you could have easily been wiped out. But you got through that stage. Then you went to cocoon stage. And you were still vulnerable because a bird could have come by and eaten you. But now you're emerging into the butterfly. And you can soar higher above your enemies. You can soar higher above those things that could normally have taken you out. That's a good thing because when you come out of that cocoon stage, you're fully developed. You can fully fly. When a child is small, it's just crawling, right? At first, it can barely lift its head. Then it can lift its head. Then it crawls. Then it walks. Then it runs. So that's the same thing that's happening here. You've gone from the crawling stage to the walking stage. And now it's time to run. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My brother, it's time to run. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's not time to walk. It's time to run. It's time to fly. It's time to run. It's time to fly. This is what the Lord has told me to share with you tonight. Most things start small. I don't know any church that started, well, I know a couple. They stole church members, but most churches start very small. Usually a pastor, his wife, his kids, and maybe a couple of friends. And Pastor Johnny was telling me that's how this church started. Small. It was a caterpillar. The Lord showed me lots of people wanted to snuff him out. They wanted to kill this church before it even started. But when I came here with my brother James, I said, wow, look at that building is there. Some offices, we saw the foundation there. We said, man, this thing is moving. And just confirm what the Lord showed me. So be encouraged. I'm not here to tell you your telephone number. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Those people who tell you, oh, your number is 305-4281-38, that's a soothsayer. I'm not for sale. Neither is God's gift for sale. But I can only tell you what he told me. Hallelujah. So I want you to really understand that thing. The emergence of the church as a butterfly, the flying, the running, that's right now. It's not later, it's now. So when we're moving forward with a project in the church or doing something, I want you to get on board. You see, when I was last in Ghana, I lived in Ghana two times. I lived from 2010 to 2012. My wife had a car. I had a trotro. Are you hearing me? I had to run after the trocho. The guy was sir. I had to run and get on that trocho. My wife was in the air conditioned, driving the car coolly. Going to and fro. I had to hustle. I had to run after those trochos. Because if I didn't get on the trocho, I was going to be late. That's just how it is. You get on the trocho. I used to wear a t-shirt. I'd pack a shirt in my bag because it's so dirty in the dust, in the heat, in the trocho. You're squished in there. But you see, you had to run for it. I had to run to catch it. I had to move. That's how it is. So you may not have a car. That's fine. But you have legs. And God wants you to run. Run. You have to run. It's so important. Sometimes we don't know where we're at. We don't know who we are. We don't know what we're supposed to do. And so a person who walks in a prophetic calling is just there to activate you. They're there to get you going. They're there to say, hey, my brother, do you not see your feet? Do you not see your heart? Do you not see here your mouth? We're there to activate you, to speak life into something that has been dead. Some of you here are like, ah, this guy, I've heard this thing all before. But I'm trying to tell you something to help you, not to harm you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My brother James.
Hallelujah. You know, when you say glory to God, hallelujah, praise God, it's not just heard here. It's heard in the heavens. And it echoes. All the angels say the same thing. That's how precious that name is. That's how precious He is. And that's how astute they are in listening to what we're saying. It's such a big deal. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. At the very beginning, and I'm going to call you Bishop for a reason. And it's not about titles. It's about position. Because God has given you a position. And I see people under you that are coming to you for advice. And you're nurturing them along the way so that they are sharing in what God has given you. Because your banquet table, you're inviting everybody to come. And you're sitting there and you're feeding them the best, the choice food. And yours is empty. Because you say, I value them more than I value myself. I would rather give them all and receive nothing, but I'm giving them. And the Lord says this about you. See, before coming here, I already knew Him. How did I know you're Bishop? Because He's yours. He's everybody's Bishop. How did I know Him? I didn't know Him like this, but I know the Lord. And the Lord says He is a friend. I call Him friend. I know all of the Lord's friends. All of them. When I'm praying for somebody, He shows me things about them. And I'll speak them when I'm supposed to speak. I'll hold it, and I'll hold my cards really close so nobody can get it. Even the enemy can't get it. But He said that He's a friend. Closer than a friend. You're a friend of God. I don't say that lightly, because I understand what titles are. And like we were talking about, I really don't care about titles. When I leave here, I want you to forget about this Obroni. Okay? I want you to remember that Jesus is the one that sent us here, provided a way for us to come here, to impart to you, so that you can take that and share it with others. Right? And I was sharing earlier that if you have $5 million in the bank, are you wealthy? You have $5 million in the bank, it would seem that you're wealthy. What is it worth? In the bank, it has no value. It doesn't have any value until you take it out and use it for its intended purpose. And there has to be an exchange. So I see that. I see that you're wealthy. I see that your bishop is wealthy. Because He is emptying out. And you can never empty what God has given you, because as fast as you pull it out, He replenishes it. And like my brother Jason was talking about earlier, and when I see this, I see you need a lot of property because of this. Because of the sheepfold. You see, we all know about the Passover and how it was instituted, how the angel of death was coming, and they put the blood over the doorpost and over the lintel, and that was God's protection. Now, that was what He showed me about you, is that He had already protected you and guarded you and protected you completely to the point where the enemy couldn't touch you, because you're a friend of God. And nobody can touch His friend. And there was assignments, as my brother was saying, there was assignments against you. But those assignments had to pass over. They could not come close because of His protection. there's been a huge divine protection over you and what God has called you to do. And now is the time that you've been released for your mission. So at the very beginning, I'll go back to this because I got a little sidetracked. But when the Spirit of God starts moving, and Holy Spirit, I thank you for what you're doing here. I thank you for the sensitivity. I'm just going to redirect for a second here. Whoever was singing, please come up. Please come up. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. See, there's an anointing on your life, an anointing on you, your lives. When I say that, I'm talking about the ministry, the music ministry. Your voices are weapons. Your hands doing this are weapons. When you come up and you, when you praise Him, and the Lord told me this earlier, and Prophet Jason and I were talking. It says, they that worship me, they're worshiping in spirit and in truth. He's not asking. He's saying that that's how you're worshiping Him, in spirit and in truth. There's a movement that comes from it, and it expels the enemy. So know this, that you're not coming up to say, hey, I'm entertaining. You're actually entering in. I'm not performing. I am praising. When you do that, you bring in the Spirit of God to move. And it just nurtures the atmosphere for the prophetic to move, for the pastors to move. It just nurtures the whole atmosphere. And it doesn't stay in this building, because this is not a church. It goes outside. And so when you're doing this and you're playing this, you're actually doing warfare. And you're pushing back the enemy, which prepares the people and frees them up to receive all the words that God has for them. I want you to understand, when you're here and you're singing, there's such a dynamic impartation from the spirit realm to the people that you are such a vessel. And the Lord was showing me here in 2 Chronicles 20, I believe it is, where Jehoshaphat was going to battle. And this is what I usually do. When I'm reading something, I always have a so what question. I go, Lord, so what are you saying here? This is what is written, but there's so much more meaning behind it, because the depth of who you are and the depth of your word is even greater than what I'm reading. So what is it that you're really showing me here? So I'll get to that. So when Jehoshaphat was going to battle, what did he do? He put his singers and his musicians first, and then his army followed. Who goes to battle like that? The Lord does. That's it. Nobody else does. They try to do the intimidation. God said, oh no, I am the intimidator. I'm not intimidated. And I fight your battles for you. So he went before them. They were singing the praises. When you sing those praises, the army of God doesn't have to lift a finger. It happens for them. The Lord fights for them. So I want you to understand that when it talks about the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing center of soul and the spirit, the joints and marrow, to discern the thoughts and intents of people's hearts, that is the release that's there, that's happening. It's a release. And so you free them up for us to come in and do what we have to do. So Father, I thank you for all the ones that are gifted here in music ministry. I thank you that you're taking them to a whole new level, that their eyes are open to see things even greater in the spirit realm than they've ever seen before, that their personal lives will be a reflection of that anointing that goes through them, and it'll permeate to this community. I thank you, Father, that their voices is a gift and talent that you put inside of them, and they're gifting that talent back to you every time they get on this stage to sing. Same with the ones that are playing here on the left, that they are gifting their talent back to you. And when they do that, you inhabit what you've given for this congregation, for this area. I thank you for what you're doing. So bless them. Give them a double portion today. Please, in Jesus' name I pray and I thank you. Amen. And the Lord says, let it be done. He just said that. It is done. Hallelujah. Thank you. So you came here desiring to move more into spiritual gifts, right? You've been asking him, Lord, I want to move into spiritual gifts. I want your spirit to move through me so people get to know who you are. And so the Lord is saying this, receive it, it's yours. That it's an increase, increase, increase. I thank you, Jesus. That you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is your church, your body. He came here looking for you. You said that if we seek you, that we'll find you. And he has found you today. And his heart's desires is to be more like you. To move in the gifts so people know that he belongs to the one true living God. I thank you for giving this to him. I thank you. I thank you that his hands are anointed, his feet are anointed. His voice is anointed. His thoughts are your thoughts. I thank you that he moves into gifts in a greater way than he ever has before. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I was away on vacation one time, and my wife and I were getting on the plane. And while I was getting on the plane, I saw this couple. She was white, and he was Afro-American. And they stood out, not because of that, but because I saw a uniqueness, an authentic part of their life. And I said to my wife, I said, God's got his hand in their life. And she grabbed me. She goes, no, James, not today. Because when that happens, the first thing I do is, Lord, you want me to deliver something? I will. And she says to me, no, we're on the plane. And she said, can you promise me you won't do anything? And I said, I can't do that. She goes, no, listen, you have to hold that. You can't do that. Promise me. I said, okay, I promise. And then the Lord said to me, he said, why did you promise? I said, okay, maybe I shouldn't have promised. He goes, no. And then he said, it's okay, I have a plan. I said, okay, I got the plan. I'm not sure exactly what it is, but I'll get it. So fast forward, we're on vacation. And we go to, and I don't know, this bus picks us up and they take everybody to these different resorts. So they dropped off all these people. And I said to my wife, I said, they haven't gotten off yet. They're coming with us. And she goes, no. James, don't do it. And I'm laughing. So, guess what? They go to the same resort that we're going to. So that night, we made reservations for dinner. As we're making reservations for dinner, we're planning out the whole week. And that night, we go for dinner. And guess who sat right beside of us? That same couple. I wake up in the morning. I go for my prayer walks. And I'd go out to the beach and I put my towels down where I want to sit in the beach beside us. I said to my wife, I said, God is getting our attention. I said, can I go and speak to them? Because I know exactly what I have to say. She said, no. No. I said, okay. I'm thinking, God, what is this? You're holding this. What are you doing? I said, well, you can change my wife. The next time I ask her, she'll say yes. And I said, at least I hope. And as time was going on, there was different people walking through the beach, and I would have a word for them. And I would speak to this one guy, and he sat down. And I said, look, you've been tormented by the enemy. I said, today it stops. We did a deliverance right there on the beach. He was set free. He came back every day because he was hungry and thirsting. And so when you take the enemy out, you fill him with the word, right? And so there's been prophetic words they gave to everybody. this couple. She said, no. I'm thinking, God, what are you doing? And he wouldn't tell me anything. I'm thinking, why are you telling me this? I'm going through these other things for you, and this one thing, you're not letting me see the end result. What do you have going on here? What is it you're doing? And I knew he was up to something. And it's almost a chuckle where the Lord is like, oh, yeah, wait till the end. And it's like, okay, I'm excited, but I don't know what it looks like. So typically when we wake up in the morning, my wife is a little bit behind me, maybe an hour, hour and a half behind me. And if we're going somewhere, sometimes we're a little bit late at times because she's a little bit behind me. Just a little bit. And I'm being gracious with that, obviously, everybody knows. So the whole week goes by, and I haven't been able to speak to this couple. And I knew that they were in the ministry. And I knew that they had a deeper call in their life. And I wanted to speak to it. So 2 days before we leave, you have to go and you have to register for the company to come and pick you up to make sure that everything's okay and you sign off on it. So I said to my wife, we're on the beach. I said, I'm going to go and I'm going to make sure that we're good to go tomorrow. So they open up at 3:00. I said, I'll go there and I'll be the first one. I'll have that housekeeping done and I'll come back. She said, okay. So I go to the center and they're closed. And I said, they're not open. And I was talking to one of the guys walking by that works there. And he says, oh, no, this is Dominican Republic time. They might open in 30 minutes or 45 minutes. I said, that's great. He goes, okay. And I'm walking and praying. I said, God, you have me here for a reason. What are you doing? As I'm walking, I look over and on a ledge on this side is a couple that looked like the other couple. But it wasn't. And the Lord said, he's a pastor. And I said, he's a pastor. I'm thinking, the other guy's a pastor too. And so I went over and I said, excuse me. I said, I was just walking, talking to the Lord. And he was telling me about you, that you're a pastor. I said, you a pastor? He said, no. I said, you're not a pastor? He said, no. I said, but I was over there. And the Lord told me you're a pastor. And you're not a pastor. He goes, no. I said, okay. So I'm going to tell you what the Lord is telling me about you. And I'm going to give you a little story, and then I'll continue on with the word. He said, okay. So I started speaking to him the words, biblical words. And then I said, here's a story that I'm going to give you that will tie this together, and then I'll tell you what I'm going to say. And I told them the analogy that God gave me. And the wife grabbed his arm and was squeezing it. I said, is everything okay? And she said, this is incredible. She said, not even 5 minutes before you came over, we were having a discussion. We talked about the same scriptures that you said, and we used the same analogy that you gave us. And I said, well, that's not me. I said, here's what happens, is when you're talking, and he hears that, I said, the Spirit of God will give it to me, and I'm just parroting it back to you. I said, it's not because of me. It's because of you that I'm here. I said, what happened was this, is God's trying to get your attention because he wants to make a statement here today. I said, does he have your attention? They said, yes. I said, then I'm going to finish what I started. So I started sharing with them everything that God had showed me about them. And then I said to him, because the Spirit of God said, ask him what he does at church. I said, so what do you do in the church? He says, I serve behind the pulpit. I said, what does that mean? And he talked about all the things behind the scenes. I said, okay. And he said, well, I haven't preached for 10 years. And I said, let me tell you this. This is what God is telling me. And I knew you're a pastor. Because you're not functioning in the role doesn't mean that you're not anointed for that. I said, you are a pastor. You're just not functioning in the role that God has placed you in. I said, so what are you going to do when you go home? He said, I'm going to get in front of the pulpit again. I said, hallelujah. So this is where it gets really good. And you're really, really going to appreciate this. The day that we're leaving, my wife was early. She was right on time with me. And so we're packed up. And I said, wow, we can go down and we can have some orange juice. We'll sit there. We'll wait for the driver to come. And I said, we'll sit there and it'll be great. And she said, yes, let's go. I thought, this is neat. And so we get our luggages and we get them all packed up and they tag them and we sit down and we're waiting. As I'm waiting, that couple that was on the plane at the very beginning comes walking out. The couple that was on the wall came walking out behind them. They were hugging each other and they had become friends on the trip. Are you putting it together? I couldn't speak to the couple that my wife promised. God had me speak to this other couple. They shared that experience with the first couple to encourage them that God is moving. Both of them have been restored back into the ministry. That's what the Spirit of God does. So what I do in preparation for all of this is I listen to Him. When He calls me to Himself, I'm coming. When I wake up, He's waiting for me, and I acknowledge Him. Because I want everybody to come to know Him. Amen? Can I tell you another story? I'm going into Costco, which is a shopping center in Canada. And as I'm coming in there, and I just had this, I just know that, let me back up here. When King Saul walked by the prophets, and he started prophesying, they said, wow, is King Saul a prophet? Even that, you know, he's prophesying. He was moved by the Spirit, right? The key for us is to walk in the Spirit, right? You don't want to be moved for a moment. You want to be moving in the moment all the time. So that's my heart's desire, is to always be in season all the time. I never want to be an obstacle for somebody else's blessing. So I'm going into the shopping center, and as I walk in, the Lord is telling me that there's one of His that belonged to Him that's in that center that I'm going to talk to. And I got excited. I said, Lord, where is he? This is great. And what do you want me to say? And He said, just go about your business as normal. He says, I'll let you know. I said, okay. So I'm shopping as normal, and I'm putting things in the cart. And as I come up this one aisle, I walk by, and this gentleman walks by me. And he's from Africa. And, you know, there's a certain dress, right? And so it's like, okay. And the Lord says, that's him. I said, okay, Lord, that's him. What do you want me to say? He said, go up to him and ask him, if I were to ask you this question, the Lord is good all the time, what would you say? And so I said, okay, I'll do that. He says, I'll give you the rest. I said, fine. So I walk up to him, and I say, excuse me. And he looked at me like, yes? And I said, listen, I'm over there praying, and the Lord asked me to come over here and ask you a question. I said, so if I were to say to you, God is good all the time, what would you say? He said, all the time, God is good. I said, amen. I said, so he told me that you belong to him. I said, so here's what the Lord has shown me about your life. I said, that you had you were running from God, but he pursued you. I said, and in the last 6 months, you came back to him. I said, and God is telling me that he's restored you completely, that everything is washed away. It's all forgiven. And your family has been praying for you, and they're so happy with the movement that you're having. I said, but you're holding a little bit of guilt, and you have to release yourself from the guilt of walking away from him, because he is not holding that. That's under the blood. And I said, and he's restoring your relationships and your family, and everything's being restored. I said, Nehemiah, when he was building up the wall, I said, what happened is the temple was intact, but the protective wall wasn't there. And he was building that up. I said, I see that you've been building that up, and God is working with you. You've got the sword in one hand because you know how the enemy came in, and you're working with this hand, and you're building up the wall. And he said, hang on a second. And he had this earbud. He said, listen to this. He let me hear the earbud. He was walking around this store, listening to the Bible app, and he was listening to Nehemiah building the wall. How does that happen if God doesn't do it? So in that, he was receiving, and I said, does God have your attention? Yes. I said, then you're restored. So he's going back into the ministry. That is what he's been doing, is he's restoring the hearts of men that the enemy thought that he discarded. See, the Valley of Dry Bones were warriors, right? That fell to the enemy by some means or another, whether it was a spear, a sword, a knife, an arrow, whatever it was, they were there. And usually when a soldier is killed in battle, there's a burial of honor. The enemy discarded them with dishonor and just threw them into a valley and said, you're of no significance. But what the enemy says is no good, God raises for his good to show people. And the thing about that resurrection power is he sends a prophet to speak life into those dry bones. He sends me constantly to people that the enemy thought that he destroyed, where God is resurrecting them back to life. Those are the stories that I've just shared with you. Every one of them is like that. So the valley, the enemy is crude and rude and doesn't really care. Discarded them. But when the Lord says, speak life to them, and you start seeing, you actually hear a noise first. Then you see the movement. And then whether they had shattered bones or whatever it was, it doesn't matter. Because whatever was broken, whatever was shattered is restored. Right? Whatever is broken, whatever was shattered is restored. And this is hitting home to some people. And so when those bones come together, they take perfect form. Perfectly aligned. Better than the original. Right? It's the upgrade. And then the flesh and everything comes together. There's no wounds, no scars, nothing. Flawless, blameless, spotless. And then they take form. And then they have the armor that comes. Where does it come from? It comes from him. Right? So they take the armor of God and they put that on. And then the life, the Spirit of God gives life and strength. Where's the power come from? It comes from the Spirit of God. Right? You should receive power. So they're empowered now to be in the army of God. And not once did the Lord or the prophet say, how did you fall? What happened to you? How did the enemy get you? There's nothing about how they fell. The Lord doesn't do that. He gives you an upgrade in the restoration. And there's a unity in that restoration. And so he's raising up an army in this time. Right? And he's resurrecting those that were fallen to get back into the army. Flawless. And they'll never fall to the enemy the way they did the first time. They have learned and they're empowered by the Spirit of God. That is a remnant that he is raising up in this earth, in this world today. And I can tell you that you're an army. That you are doing damage to the kingdom of hell. Being here, I can tell you that the enemy is not happy. When I was in Canada, the Spirit of God has shown me things about Ghana and the greater Ghana region, because it is a greater Ghana region. I'm in Ghana. He's shown me things about the United States and in Canada. So I'm glad I have all my notes for Ghana, because when I was there, he showed me all these things. He showed me your bishop. He showed me the heart of your bishop. He shows me that he wants so much for you, and that he is praying so much for this community and the hearts of the people, so they come to know a deeper and fuller understanding of who Christ is in their life. Like, I see his heart, but I also see a larger crowd. And it's not just because I tell you what it is. Is there's a battle going on in the spirit realm, and the Lord himself is intervening. So Ghana, I was reading Daniel 10, and it says that the prince of Persia held me, Daniel, so I could not come and deliver you the word, right? So when I was reading that, and as I read the scriptures, he shows me different things that are happening in different places. And so there's a spirit prince over this region that has been trying to squash this region. So the spirit prince over this region is using three tactics: lasciviousness, filthy lucre, and idolatry. Idolatry in two forms: personal idolatry and idolatry where they're worshiping other gods. So the occult and things like that. But there is a personal worship that people are embracing on because they want their name out there. They want to have their title out there. There's a lot of that idolatry in that realm. And that's why your bishop that God has placed here in this region, that's why he's saying he doesn't want it, because he knows the enemy. He knows why the enemy comes. And that's why we don't call ourselves prophets at home. I am James in Christ. And I have gifts. I have $5 million I'm trying to give to people. That doesn't belong to me. The only thing that he doesn't own, that he wants everyone to give him, is your heart. It's the only thing he doesn't own. All the money, everything else, he owns it. The gifts inside of me, he owns it. So for me, I have to give it. And it's not a title that gives it. It's the Spirit of God that gives it. And the Spirit of God is moving in here. There's a tangible presence of the Spirit of God here. Can you feel that? I can feel it and I can see it. And when I say holy, holy, holy is the name, Lord God Almighty, when I see that, I see angels. And I see the war that's going on, because this region, this greater region here, I've seen that prince, and I've seen that the Lord himself has sent his archangels to open up this region for the drop of the Spirit of God, the glory of God that rests on this region. Because this region here, and what the Spirit of God is doing in this region, and who he is raising up, they will go. This will go to other nations. This continent will be affected for what he's doing in this region. The way that he showed this to me, and my brother Jason had a dream about this big rock. Well, he showed this to me in Canada, that there is a big boulder that is huge. And it's like dropping this big boulder into the largest lake where it goes down. So it's coming from heaven to the earth, and it hits the water, and there's a displacement that happens. And then when it comes back and it all collides, the water shoots straight up. And so the higher the fall, the greater the impact, the higher that water goes up, and then it comes back down. That's what's happening in Ghana. And the ripple effect from that is bigger waves right at the scene, but it continues to go out to the inland, more inland. So this greater region here is like that big lake. The inland are the nations of this continent, and it's going to overflow into the other nations of the world. God has taken his special possession in heaven and put it in his most prized possession on earth, which is us. And it's not for us to get fat on. It's for us to give and love on. Amen? So he's given first apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers for the perfecting of the saints to do what? The work of the ministry. What is the work of the ministry? He says to go. If you look at the miracles in Acts, out of the 50 miracles, 49 of them are outside the church. What they call the church, which is the building or the temple back then. One of them happened inside. So with all that activity out there, that's what he meant, go. Go and show them so they can taste and see that the Lord is good. How are they doing that? With us. We take that deposit here and we give it out there. Amen? And that's what's increased in your life. And that will go to all the people that you talk about. everyone, not just the ones that come into the walls of the building that we label as a church, but it's going greater than that. So it's not that you wanted to come here. He put it in your heart to be here for that impartation. Amen. Reverend Raymond, bless you. I spoke as the Lord had me speak into his life, and he is in a season of growth as well. So when you see the Spirit of God moving, people come to it from all over. You look at Jesus, when he was, it says that he taught with great authority that they've never seen it before. And he cast out devils. It says right away, he cast out devils, healed the sick, and it talks about the works that he did. And then that echoed to the other nations. And what did they do? It says they came from far off, from all over, to see him. So they traveled days and weeks to see what everybody was talking about, to see the glory of God being manifest on the earth. Amen? So what happens is people are attracted when the Spirit of God is moving. And so that's why increase. And for what the Spirit of God is doing in this region, you don't have enough churches. So God is going to change the hearts of some of these people. Some of these pastors that are doing it for selfish gain, he's going to change their heart. They're going to repent. You're going to see this. They're going to repent. And then that's going to change. Because we need more buildings to house the people so they can be fed and they can go and feed, right? In order to have the loaves and the fish, one person came and then everybody ate. That's what he's doing. He's multiplying the bread and the fish, and a lot of people are coming to eat. Amen? It's okay, I already know what you're here. So you came here and you want more of the things of God. And you were crying out to him as well. And you want to know him more. God, I want to know you. I want to know you more. You stand up too. So he is going to show you more. Not just in an understanding, but deep in the heart, where it's going to cultivate and it's going to germinate and then it's going to grow and come up. And people are going to come and draw from you. People that you don't even know, they're going to come up and they're going to stop and start talking to you. The moment a stranger comes and talks to you and asks you, then he wants you to feed them, right? They're hungering and thirsting. When the disciples were walking by the temple and the beggar asked them, hey, do you have money for me? And he says, no, silver and gold I don't have, but what I have I'll give to you freely. People are coming so you can give to them freely. The anointing on your life is increasing, increasing, increasing. Your hands are made for healing. Your voice is made for declaring the precepts of God, right? Bless these hands. Thank you that their hands are anointed. Healing, healing, healing. Healing in words and healing in hands. I thank you in Jesus' name. Be blessed. Receive it. Amen. And whether you're up front or you're at the back, you still can't hide. As my brother Jason was talking earlier about trying to hide from God, you can't hide from him. So there's somebody at the back that has a call of God in their life to be a pastor, a minister of reconciliation. And you're back there wondering, is it me? And if I'm speaking to you, stand up and come on up here. So I was looking at you, and you saw me, right? Yes. So, Father, I thank you. I thank you that you called him from a young age. And that you've had this stirring in his heart for such a long time. He's been resisting and then questioning you regarding this calling. Not questioning you as God, but just questioning him in you. And you wanted me to confirm the call in his life. So I'm doing that in obedience to you. So I thank you. I thank you, Jesus, that he belongs to you. And he is part of the ministry for what you called him to do. I thank you. Holy Spirit, fill him. A fresh infilling from the top of his head to the tip of his toes. Let it be done according to the word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. How much time do I have? So when I saw this rock coming down, the glory of God coming through, when I said I saw the warring in the heavens, and that spirit prints over this region where others were coming to join in, just like we read in Daniel, where he said the spirit prince of Persia, and I have to go back to fight because the spirit prince of Greek is coming, right? So there's been a battle for this region. Why is there such a battle? Because when the heavens open and the glory of God drops, the impact to the rest of the world is huge. It's so big. And you show me how great that is. Your sensitivity here to the spiritual is incredible. Your ears to hear. The Bible says it several times. Those who have ears to hear, let them hear what the Spirit is saying. And the Lord has shown me how many ears are listening to him and hearing him. Now some have pushed away. They hear it and they quench the Spirit. And that is stopping. Because the enemy was coming in to try to numb down or quench the Spirit by using God's people to do that. But who can quench the work of the Lord? Nobody. And so he has actually parted the heavens and made an opening for his glory to come and rest here. You're going to see a move of God. Listen, I heard you praying for revival in Canada. I've got the Spirit of God all over me. Like my whole body is tingling. I heard you praying for revival. I'm in Canada and I hear the prayers. When I was telling you about the pastor that said he wasn't a pastor and the Lord told me he was. The person who was listening to Nehemiah and the Lord had me quote that scene from Nehemiah as he was listening to it. That same God was telling me about you. When I'm in Canada and you want revival. See, the miracles of God, we can look at Elijah when he was in the cave. He wasn't the wind, he wasn't the fire, he wasn't in an earthquake. He's in a still small voice. The demonstrative part of God is what Egypt found. Right? They found that, hey, I am the God of all these things. And he just wrecked every god that they had. But he's talked to Moses in a voice. And on the mountain, he spoke to Moses in a voice. In the cave, he spoke to Elijah with a voice. And then when he sent the disciples out and the 70 came back and they gave a report and they said, even these demons and these miracles happening in your name, he said, don't focus on that, but focus that your name is written in Lamb's Book of Life. Because none of that happens if this doesn't happen. So when I hear you praying for revival, I see the book open and names being written in it quickly. So if the names are being written in it quickly, that means that you're doing the work of the ministry. That means that you're taking what is imparted to you and you're giving it to somebody else. It's infectious. The move of God is infectious. It's infectious. It draws people. When they heard about Jesus, they came from all over to see him. They won't come here to see you or the bishop. They'll come here to see Jesus working through you and experience and become like family. That is happening. Ghana is a pivotal part of what God is doing. And this continent will be forever, eternally changed because of the move of God that's happening in this nation. Global impact. Global. The same God that told me that. I had a dream one night. And I was in this dream and I was standing in line and it seemed like there was a recruiter that was recruiting people. And then when I got close, I recognized the face, but it didn't seem like it suited her at the time. But her name was Tracy. I'm thinking, okay, when I drew the line in the sand and said, Lord, I will serve you all of my days without reservation, radical abandonment from myself for the kingdom of God, I do that. I was working for the company, and she was one of the HR directors. And I thought, I'm in line for recruiting. And then she goes, okay. And she says, would you like to be local or global? And right away I said, global. She said, smiled and said, we'll be in touch. Almost a year later, I'm standing here. Why would he bring somebody from Canada here to give a message like that? Because in Ghana, if you're here in Ghana and people talk about it, it's like, okay. It almost seems like a national thing, a protection for the nation, right? And it's easy for you to defend and protect your nation. To bring somebody else having that conviction, that insight from another nation here that knows nothing about your country. And I didn't. I purposely didn't do any research on Ghana or anything. When people said, where are you going? And I said, Accra. And they go, where is that? And I said, I think it's inland. And they go, okay. And they looked up and said, oh no, it's by the water. I said, okay. And I deliberately didn't do that because I didn't want to have any interference with what God was saying. I wanted to be pure. I wanted to be authentic and real and live at the time. So when I say I didn't know anything about your country, I didn't until the Lord told me. So he told me about two cities. He told me about the leaders, and I'll talk about that tomorrow at the pastor's conference, what he has shown me about your country. But I can tell you that this country, because you're praying for revival, God has brought it here. And what's going to happen is the enemy, the manifest part of the enemy, is when Jesus came on the scene, right? And the glory of God was all over him. And then you see the manifestations of the enemy. You're going to see that here. But don't lose heart. What it's doing is it's locating him, but it also locates you that you're in the vein. And if you're not in a collision course with the devil, that's because you're going in the right same direction. If you're on a collision course with him, that means you're going opposing him. And there's nothing you can do. There's nothing he can do about this move that's happening here. Because it's not a request, it's a declaration that God has already established. Because the warring has taken place and the release has also taken place. So There's two attributes of a great leader. And I've done a lot of research, and at home, I've had various executive positions. And the one company I was with used to send me around North America to different facilities to restructure and bring the culture in alignment with the vision, values, and purpose of the corporation. And so I would go and do these things. And when I would look at the leaders, I would look for the two qualities. And I've done a lot of research on this. The top two qualities of a great leader are always the same. They're extremely humble. In other words, it's not about me, it's about us. And I've told them, I said, I want you to understand this. What I don't know grossly exceeds anything I do know. That is so humbling. If you think that you know everything, read the Bible again, and you're going to realize that there's things that you missed, right? But the Spirit of God knows all things. So humility is knowing who you are and who you belong to, and that we have a long way to go, right? The number two is they serve their people. Jesus says, I didn't come to be served. I came to serve. And so when you put the value of the employees or the people in front of you greater than yourself, then you have the heart of God. So when I talk about great leaders and I talk about those two attributes, I can see your pastor in that title because of that. And so he says he gives grace to the humble, right? And where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. So when there's things happening around here, you don't have to worry about it. God is fighting for you. The battle belongs to the Lord. Like Elisha said, because what happens is the enemy will try to get us distracted by what we see. Elisha said, Lord, open his eyes that he might see. And what did he see? He saw that the army was surrounded by God's army. That's where you're at. That's what I'm seeing. And that's a protective covering that's been over your pastor's family. And I call him a pastor right then because his heart is like a shepherd, right? And the good shepherd is the one that he is under. And when you look at a shepherd and a pastor, they come into the sheepfold. I'm sure you all know this, but they examine every sheep that comes into the fold to look for any injuries, any damage, and they're completely examined, and then he lets them through. Every sheep is examined to make sure that they're good. And if they're not, he takes them aside and he cleans them up, cleans the wound, makes sure it's all good, and then he lets them into the sheepfold. And then when they're in there, he sits at the door with his rod and his staff and he guards them. That's the heart of Christ. And I see that with your pastor, shepherd, ultimately bishop. I see it. When I'm saying this about both of you, because I see a unity in you two and a love with you two and a joy in you two that's incredible. The link, it's a fusion. Like, we can talk about links, but I see it so close, it's all fused together, that it's one, completely one. So as we're talking about your husband, we're also talking about you. So the anointing is increasing and broadening. Broadening. And I know that he's been speaking to you, but you're going to hear him clearer. And you'll have visions. You'll be laying down and you will say, I don't know if that was a dream or not, but he's going to be showing you things, deeper things, intimate things. And he wants you to hide them. Hide them for the time that they'll be released. Write them down, but hide them. And then in the right time, the right season, you release it, and it changes the atmosphere. I see this. Yeah, I see a wisdom. Hallelujah. Lord, is there any more? Close, or would you want me to close? How would you like to do this? We never talked about this part. We just started flowing with it. But we can share this. How many received something here today? Every hand should go up. Because whether you think you received something or you don't, you did. It's a deposit. It says that my word never returns void. There's prophetic words that have been uttered tonight that include you. You heard it. You heard it. And you might play these videos some other time. And whoever hears this, there's an impartation that goes to it. It's for you. Hand delivered. In Canada, we say delivering the pizza. Because it has different toppings for different people, specialized. But that's why we came here, to deliver this. Now, we're back here on Sunday, and there's more to come. More to come. So come expecting. And as Bishop talked earlier, and he was talking about speaking it out, I have here, prophesy your promise, prophesy your future. Now, you didn't know I had these notes written down, but he was reading my notes. We're in the office, he's reading in my notes. But that's what you do. Prophesy your promise and prophesy your future. And I can tell you, it looks really good. Not in absence of opposition, but like I said, the enemy only raises up if you're active for the things of God. And when you're active for the things of God, there's nothing you can do about it. Amen? Amen. I took my shoes off because the anointing in here was so thick. And I'm standing on holy ground.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.